Hi guys, welcome back. All right, I got some new stuff for you today. I'm sitting on my new porch in my new backyard. I recently moved, and it's really pretty outside today. It's like 68, sunny. Feels nice. So, this afternoon I listened to a lecture around personality and how our emotional reactions and kind of just like our emotionality, how that develops and why. And I did that because I've noticed that my responses have changed kind of drastically in my adult life, and I'm going to kind of go into that with like a timeline of how that kind of happened. And that was actually really helpful for me to do that today to kind of like pinpoint when some of these changes were going on and what was happening in my life. So maybe grab a paper and a pencil while you're listening to this, and you can kind of do the same. So this episode's going to be about heightened response after being exposed to prolonged abuse. So there's kind of two common modes that we go into when we are faced with trauma or experiencing abuse. Some people go into that heightened sensitive mode, that really reactionary mode, and that's involuntary. What I'm talking about today is involuntary. That's really important. And then some people go into that shutdown mode. Right? That route where you're kind of in a real, like, non-reactionary mode. Like, not a lot of things can make you angry, or, if something happens, you're like, eh, whatever, I'm used to it. Been through this before, and you don't really feel a whole lot, or you feel like numb. It's like you're numb, like, you can feel the feelings underneath, but it's like there's like a thick plastic, like, covering over it, or something is the best way I could describe that mode. Because I've been in that mode before too. So I used to be pretty like underreactionary, I think, in relationships. This is before I had boundaries and kind of learned what's okay and what's not okay, and I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think this neurobiological stuff kind of has some things to do with it too, and that's why I kind of looked into it today. So starting out kind of like how I went into that underreactionary mode. I was exposed to a pretty like brutal infidelity at age 16. I walked in on my first partner having sex with someone else right in front of me. So that was kind of the start to my intimacy betrayal journey. And I remember feeling like a rush of anger briefly, and then I went numb. And I was numb for a long while after that. Like all through my teenage years and younger 20s. And I remember this being kind of the beginning of my adrenaline junkie pattern with sex and men. I think this is where I started to kind of seek out, the upheaval and the toxic cycles because they made me feel, because I didn't really feel otherwise. So from here, I kind of chose partners unknowingly who were dishonest and cheated and had similar traits. And those were the two traits that I can say that they all had. I quite liked the ladies' man, the bad boy thing, because it created a challenge. It created suspense. It created excitement when I felt real dead on the inside a lot of the time. And my body was in this tough girl, you can't hurt me, I don't give a shit mode. Until kind of the end of my marriage, when it began to lift, I think. I definitely had a rough marriage and I experienced some hurtful things, and I think that kind of started to aggravate and wake things up. But reflecting back, I had my marriage, I had my abusive relationship, and now I'm in a new relationship that feels a lot healthier. But just kind of looking at those three different points in my life, like back when I was married, I still felt hurt. I still felt betrayal when it would happen, but it wasn't as intense. Okay. So then I went through a phase around aged 25, 26 years old, which is also around the time when my mother died fairly suddenly. So I kind of, I'm like, okay, there's a timeline thing, trauma, big loss, where I kind of like woke up from that numbness and I began to feel like everything all of a sudden, everything. And I kind of had this revelation around, oh, there's like a yard guy outside. Hopefully he's not too loud. I kind of had this revelation around like learning as much as I could about brains and behavior and why the men I was with did what they did. And I wanted to understand on a deeper level. So, okay, I'm gonna move. That's really loud. Pause. Uno momento. Okay. So entered this new phase of like feeling everything and just being really interested in this like the psychology of like what's happened to me in life and myself and the people that I've, been in love with and related to. And it felt good. Like I remember this change of just like the trees were greener when I would go outside. Touch felt more intense when I began dating again after marriage. Like the oxytocin felt stronger during orgasm. I felt inspired. I wrote and I wrote and I just had this forgiveness, within me all of a sudden, and I felt so free. And I just turned into like this love child, emotionally attuned person. And, I remember like when I started dating again, I felt like I could. Okay, I came inside because it was really loud out there. Let me try to get back to where I was at. Anywho, so yeah, I just kind of had a big emotional change, through these things in my life. And I always had like that strong instinct. Like I remember having that as a kid. That was always there, but there was a change in my sensitivity to the stimuli that I would experience and the way I felt and the way that I experienced pleasure and then also the way I experienced emotional pain. Both of those became a lot more intense for me. So a couple of years after this change, I met my abuser. And what happens in abusive relationships first? Love bombing, right? Passion, immense pleasure, immense bonding, closeness, happiness, joy. And I also experienced some underlying fear during that time too, right? My gut was like, girlfriend, he's not a good guy. But I couldn't like pick up on that. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just, this nervousness and butterflies because I liked him and I was just feeling all these really intense feelings. I was very, very vulnerable in a way I never had been in my life. I just had this outlook of like, okay, I'm just going to be really brave and I'm going to try to put myself out there. It was hard for me. I tried different things to try not to be so much that way, but I think that's just kind of the mode I was in. That's what I wanted. I wanted to just really feel love. I was ready for real, true love, and I was being treated exquisitely in the beginning of this relationship. He chose me. He made me his priority. I brought him so much joy. I was perfect to him. I was ideal to him, right? So that's going to be like an important thing. I think I'm going to go into that maybe next episode because I'm having some stuff around that also. Just like that perfectionism standard and like being in a relationship with someone who thinks you're so perfect and kind of how that feels after you're not with them anymore. But when we made love, it's like he looked at me like I was a fucking piece of art. Like he studied every inch of me and made me feel special and made me feel totally and completely accepted. My true, authentic self was finally someone's number one choice. I didn't have to change anything about myself or my body. He just loved me. Right? It's okay. What happens next in abusive relationships after that chapter? Lying, betrayal, a very calculated and subtle breakdown of your spirit so someone can control you and make you forget who the hell you even are inside. They remove your self-worth. And that's also intense. And it's repeated, right? So that's a cycle that we go through in abusive relationships. That is the abuse cycle. The cycle between that and then the good parts. And then immense pain and confusion. And then the good stuff. And we stay because the good side of them is the only way we understand how to survive the abuse at that point, right? It's called Stockholm Syndrome. You don't know what you don't know. And then you go to counseling and you learn and you're like, oh, okay. And then you get out. So I listened to a lecture about personality and why some folks feel things more deeply and for longer today because I have kind of morphed into that, right? Like I'm starting to really struggle with it and I'm noticing it. And my first phase of life, up until around, like I said, age 25, 26, my brain said, okay, we're just going to go numb. When hurtful stimuli is there, we're going to shut down the innervation to the neurons that have us feel emotion, an emotional response physically and mentally. We're just really quieted and watered down and weakened. So that's the only thing I knew. And for some unknown reason, they woke back up. So now my brain, I think in a way has gotten smarter and probably more protective. And now it's become real overreactive, touchy, right? Hypervigilant, because I was being repeatedly exposed to very hurtful, dangerous stimuli in that abusive relationship. This lecture, they talked about a study where repeated trauma creates this sensitivity level. And, they did MRIs and brain scans that actually show the neuron innervation increasing and increasing the more the brain is subjected to traumatic stimuli. Now, some people, like I said, go the other direction, and the more they're exposed, their amygdala actually gets smaller and it becomes underreactive. So just kind of those two ways it can go. But yeah. So what is my point to all of this? Well, I've been trying to figure out why I'm so kind of emotionally dysregulated for longer periods of time during certain situations that in the past made me go numb. It was like no big deal. If I was hurt in some way, it was like meh. Because numb is so much easier. And now I have this other thing going on and I have to learn to self-regulate in healthy ways. Right? The eating disorder was a huge numb out coping mechanism. So was college, thankfully. Got me far in life. I relied on that a lot as a numb out distraction. I got into law school after nursing school and almost signed my ass up for 4 more years of intense school, like 6 months ago or so. But I took a pause and I was like, you know what? I'm just trying to numb again. And I don't want to just try to numb this time because I've gotten to a point in life where I feel so intensely now. I know my coping mechanisms can't really keep up as well. Like they just can't. So I need a different approach. I have to process my trauma and face it. I have to feel the feels and learn a new way to survive the intensity, without a scale and without calculating calories and without lectures of, or hours of lectures and, hours of homework and writing. So this is hard shit for me, letting all that go. Law school would have been easier than facing it, promise. But I made the choice to just face it because I want to be present for myself and I want to be here for my daughter finally. That wouldn't have been fair to her. I want to be there for my partner instead of just numbing and avoiding, and he's doing the same. I'll touch on that dynamic briefly. I try not to talk about him too much out of respect on this show, because this is about me and my issues. But I'm realizing when we have a fight or when we run into a situation where I'm hurt or he's hurt, he has pretty minimal reaction most of the time. I noticed he has pretty minimal reaction to a lot of things, and this is real helpful in certain ways for me, meeting my needs. He's really gentle in nature. He doesn't get angry easily. He's very underreactive, right? And I was with someone who was really overreactive and angry, and I had to like be really careful not to piss them off. So that side of this has been really good for me. But I do see it bottling up sometimes for him, and it's shown itself more recently. And I also know that bottling emotions up isn't healthy, and I don't want that for him. And I think maybe some things are showing up because he's becoming more comfortable. And even when we're having conflict, I try really hard to accept his vulnerability, no matter what that looks like. It's not abusive and it's not hurting me. There's a line there. But I try to accept when he's being vulnerable like that and thank him for it. I want him to feel safe to be himself because you're not in a healthy relationship unless you can be yourself. Like, I know this firsthand. So even when it's uncomfortable for me and it's emotional for me, I'm always sure to explain why I'm hurt or what boundary I'm needing to lay down and why. But also tell him that I accept the part of you that acted that way or feels that way. It hurts. I don't always agree with it, but I accept it, right? So my point is today, listening to this lecture, I figured out we will have some challenges because he's in that numbed out, underreactive state from his trauma. And that, that's what his brain has chosen for him. And I'm not. I'm in that higher reactive. I don't want to call it overreactive. That makes it incorrect, like an incorrect level of reactiveness. And I'm at the correct level of reaction for me. So, but there's a big difference in our responses to stimuli and how our bodies and our brains are involuntarily coping. Our brains chose, what mode we're going to be in. And this is where mindfulness comes in, where he's going to have to think, okay, she's having this big reaction. I need to try to feel a little deeper, relate a little deeper to get through this, and I'm going to have to say to myself, okay, let's, try and understand. Whereas me, I'm gonna have to say to myself during conflict, okay, let's try to self-soothe. This may be safer than we actually think. Because I can't tell when I'm freaking the fuck out, right? Like, I've noticed that, like, I'll have my reaction and I'll be stuck in that phase of just trying to like cope emotionally. And then when I kind of feel regulated again, I'm like, okay, this is safe, So it's been a hard process dating after abuse, but it's also been a beautiful one. So today I'm going to have gratitude for my mind and the way it's trying to keep me safe. I'm going to work on accepting the part of me that is constantly scanning for lies and reacting to the slightest change in facial expressions and tone of voice, and quit fighting it or thinking of it as a bad thing that creates problems. And I need my partner to do the same. That's something I really express to him. I'm going to celebrate my heart and how deeply I feel because though I feel pain intensely sometimes, I also feel things I wouldn't be able to if I were still numb. So I'm going to turn inward to my inner child who's scared and doesn't know who she is sometimes or how to be and tell her that I love her. She's loved and accepted and safe and strong still, even though she's beginning to feel again. Sometimes I feel weak because I just can't emotionally regulate as quickly as I could before. It's brave facing that with no unhealthy coping mechanisms. Like, I tell my patients that every day. I work with eating disorder patients. You're not failing. You're achieving something very hard that most people do not in their lifetime. This is recovery is hard. All right, guys. Hope that was helpful. Much love. Till next time.